nearly 50 million gospel tracts, and you've taken part in all that. And, you know, I don't know what God's doing on all of it. We get bits and pieces, but it's making an impact. And so thank you so very much. All right, I'd like to have you turn this evening to the book of Psalms chapter 71, if you would. While you're turning there, I'll mention in the foyer we have prayer cards there. We set ours up this time like a bookmark, and we'd like to have you take it and put it in your favorite book. And as you read, you can look at it each day, and if you don't like this side, turn it over. We got better pictures on the back. But anyhow, we want you to pray for us. We also have this brochure. We'd like to have you get this, and it'll give you more information about the ministry, help you to pray more effectively for us. All right, let's look here in Psalm 71, and I'm going to look down and start in verse number 15, and we'll read through verse 18. It says, "My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that we can open the book of books. And Lord, as we do tonight, I pray that you'd quiet our spirit for the next few moments. And Lord, that we'd allow the Holy Spirit of God to take the Word of God and minister to our hearts tonight. And Lord, that we might walk out of this place tonight strengthened and encouraged. And Lord, might be drawn closer to Thee as we do battle in these end days for souls, the souls of mankind. And Father, we thank You for this church. Pray, Father, Your blessings upon the pastor and these people. God, continue to use this church as a lighthouse here in Anchorage, Alaska. And Lord, we'll give You the praise, the glory for all that You do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now here we find that David is getting to the end of his time on this earth. And here David, the man who walked strong and a man who the Bible says he could break a bow of steel with his arms and a man who is powerful, the leader, the king. And now he is his hair has turned gray and his shoulders are beginning to stoop as age is taking its toll upon him. And as he's getting on in years, and you notice what he says here in verse 18, he says, "When I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I've showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." He said, listen, my heart's desire, he says, is I still want to reach my generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, listen, what kept him so on fire? What kept him going like that all the way through his life? How did he manage that? Well, I think in this chapter we see a few things that take place. The first thing I want you to look at here is when he began this. Look at verse 17. He says, "O God, thou hast taught me from my youth." Look at verse 5. He says, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth." He began as a young lad to begin to seek God. He was a shepherd. He watched his father's sheep. And while he was out there in the night hours, when I'm sure those of you men who hunt and you go out in the mountains here, you get away from any natural light. And when you're out there at night and it's dark and you look up into the heavens and you see the mass of stars that's out there, it is just amazing, an amazing sight. And you look at that, and I'm sure when David was out in the hills and he'd be out there and those sheep would be around him there, and it says he played a instrument of strings. And he'd sit there and I think and play that. And he'd look up into the heavens. He'd begin to sing to God. And he'd realize there was somebody far greater than what he was. And he wanted to get to know God. And so he began to cry out to him. And we find here the very first thing that David did. We find then is in verse number 3. He says, "Be thou my strong habitation whereunto I may continually resort." He said, "I'm going to continually resort. I'm going to continually go to God." He said, no matter what happens in my life, no matter what trials, what tribulations, what testings, whatever it is, he said, "I'm just going to make it a habit to go to God." Well, listen, what a thing to start as a young man. Well, listen, that's why we encourage you young people, develop good habits while you're young. Start reading your Bible while you're young. Make it a habit. You say, "Oh, it shouldn't be a habit. You ought to just love to do it." We are creatures of habit. And listen, just take and get up and get in your Bible every single day and do it every day. Don't quit. Just keep on and keep on and keep on. And then when something comes along, you know, especially us as guys, you know, we like to handle the situation. You know, if a problem arises, you know, what do? You know, we roll up our sleeves and say, we can handle this thing, man. We can get ourselves through this, you know. And so we labor and we struggle and we fight and we wrestle and all of a sudden we realize we can't handle it. And as a last resort, well, I guess we got to pray. You know, instead of making that the first thing, you know, we just go through all these things, you know. How many times have we got ourselves in a financial pickle and we say, oh, God, help us out of this now. And God says, where were you a few months ago when you made this decision? You know, huh? Where were you? You're doing all this planning here and you didn't talk to me about it. And now you can talk all you want. You made the mess. Take care of it. And he'll give you grace to get through it. But a lot of times he says, hey, you didn't ask me. Come to him. David said, I'm going to go to him. I'm going to continually resort to God. I'm going to go to him all the time. You know, as he started doing that, he began to learn some things about his God. Look at the first thing, verse number 1. He says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. He says in verse 5, he says, for thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. He found out he could trust God. Listen, you can trust God always. Oh, listen, he always comes through. He will never let you down. And as David began to seek the Lord, as he began to follow after him and began to pursue him and continually go to him with everything, he found out he could trust his God with everything that he brought to him. Well, listen, so many times people look to men down here. Listen, you can have your heroes here, but you watch them long enough, they're going to let you down. You know, they're just but men. But listen, God will never let you down. The promises of God are as sure as God himself. And oh, listen, just lift him up and lift up his word. And so here it is. Here's David, and he says, listen, I learned that I could trust in my God. There's another thing he found. Look at verse 2. He says, deliver me in thy righteousness. Look at verse 4. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked. He found out his God could deliver him. Remember there reading where he's out there watching those sheep. Remember one time, all of a sudden, a cat shows up. Not just any old cat. A 350-pound lion shows up. And that lion's looking there and says, I want lamb chops. And so he comes over there to take one of those sheep. And we find that here's David. And David takes his staff, and he goes and whacks that rascal, and he drops the sheep. Now all of a sudden he's looking and he says, how about human chops? And remember what it says that lion did? It roared up against him and it says, David said he took him by the beard. Now, I don't know about you, but that's close. You know. And of course he pulled out his .454 Castal and he let him have it. No, he didn't have that. He said, well, what did he do? I don't know what he did, but it said he slew him. He killed that rascal. I don't know if you've ever hunted. I've hunted mountain lions. And I got a 160-pound Tom. Got him with a .357. But anyhow, that was a big cat. I would not want to confront that cat if that cat came after me. Those front paws and those front arms are like this, and they're like stone. And I watched that cat go up the side of one of those great big pines down there in Idaho, and it went up that tree so fast. I mean, just up that thing is up 125 feet up in the air, just like that. Powerful. You know, listen, here he has this lion comes up against him, and it says he found that his God could strengthen him and deliver him. It says he also had a bear that came, and the same thing happened, and he was delivered. And he began to, as he grew, and then as he became the king, we find out as the wicked came against him, he found that his God could deliver him, no matter how many were against him. Well, listen, I want you to know something, dear Christian. We're in a day and age where the news media is doing everything it can to try to cause you to fear what's going on. I mean, constantly, they're preaching and preaching and preaching that you need to fear this and fear that and fear this. Listen, the Bible says fear God. You fear Him. You don't fear everything going on down here. You walk in faith and you just trust Him. And you just keep going. Because what the devil tries to do that is he brings that fear so you don't want to talk to anybody about Jesus. Because you're afraid to talk to Him. Because, oh, if I say something, what are they going to say back? Maybe no. But then again, they may listen. You know, today, my wife had the opportunity to talk to a Buddhist. Filipino lady. Gave her the whole plan of salvation, and this little lady kept bringing back and saying, oh, but Buddha. And finally, Laura says to her, but Jesus is the only one who rose from the dead. And this little gal could say no more. And then we stopped at a store, and we got talking to a gentleman there, the proprietor in the store, who was close to my age. And we got talking to him and gave him the gospel. His name is Brian. And we gave him several tracts then right before we left. I said, would you read these? And he says, you're talking like my father. And he says, my father would put these all around. Well, listen, I think it was no accident that we showed up there. Listen, God was speaking to his heart. But, oh, listen, don't be afraid to talk to people about Jesus. And don't allow the devil to beat you down and get you there. Because here it says, he says, he's my deliverer. He'll give you what you need. He'll strengthen you. He'll encourage you. He'll give you the words to say. But, oh, listen, you've got to trust him just like David learned too. And David learned some more things about him. Look at verse 3. He says, but thou art my strong habitation. The last part of the verse. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Well, listen, he says in verse 7, he says, I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Oh, listen, when he's talking about a strong habitation, he's talking about a rock, he's talking about a fortress. Well, I tell you, when you go over, I don't know if you've ever been to Jerusalem at all or not. Would you ever see that wall over there? I mean, you see the wall that's built around it. We've had opportunities in other parts of Europe to go and see these castles, and you see these huge walls, these fortresses. And I mean, those people could go behind, and it was a place of protection. And David could equate this as he saw these fortresses that were built. He says, my God is my fortress. He says, he is the one. He is my shield. He's my strength. And oh, listen, he learned this as he walked with God, as he spent time with God, as he communed with God. Oh, listen, we've got to get to know him like Paul said. He says, oh, that I may know him. You know, and then it doesn't stop there, but then it goes on and also talks about the sufferings. You know, I wish you could just say that, hey, this thing of being a Christian is just going to be a bowl of cherries and it's all fun from the day you get saved. Well, we have a lot of joy in the Lord, but a lot of times there's some battles. A lot of times there's some testings. A lot of times there's some trials. A lot of times there's tears. And oh, listen, but you got to draw close to Him. Draw close to Him. David learned this as time went on. He said, listen, he's my strong refuge. Watch this in verse 12. He says, oh God, be not far from me. He is ever near. He's an ever present help in trouble. He's always there. Well, listen, he never leaves. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, listen, I'm always around you. You can always come to him no matter what's on your heart. You can pour it out to him. Because he knows that he cares and he loves you. And oh, listen, David learned these things as a young man. And as he kept going back to God and going back to God and going back to God, it just encouraged him and it strengthened him. And isn't it a blessing when you have something that you're praying about and you're wrestling with the Lord about and you're praying about, and all of a sudden you see God answer that prayer? Doesn't that encourage your heart to say, hey, I'm going to pray about this thing, and I'm going to pray about this thing, and I'm going to pray about this. And as you see the Lord answer, and as you see the Lord work, it's just like David. He watched, and he just, as each step he took, he grew closer and he grew stronger because of the Lord God Almighty. Well, listen, and we got the same God. That's what's neat, the same God. You know, I think a lot of times people look at it, we think, well, man, that was back then. Hey, listen, we got the same God. You know, and when we see the Holy Spirit begin to convict someone who has been living a wicked life, and you've been praying for them, others have been praying for them, and all of a sudden you see the Holy Spirit begin to take that scripture and just begin to chip away at that old hard heart. And all of a sudden you see that person break down and begin to weep and say, "Oh, God, forgive me." And they get saved. What a miracle! I mean, what a miracle! That's as great as the miracle of opening the Red Sea. That's as great as the miracle of walking on the water. That's as great as the miracle as anything there is. To see a life that was damned on its way to hell be transformed by the blood of Christ, now going to heaven, and no one can take that from them. What a miracle. That's our God. That's our God who we serve. So we find here's David as a young man, and as he matures, he's going to God continually. And then we find out another thing that he does. And look at in verse number 6. He says, "By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee." He found out, I'm just going to continually praise God. You know, when you go through the book of Psalms, how many times do you find where he talks about praise? Again and again and again, he talks about thanksgiving and praise. Well, listen, I think so many times we get so tied up and so busy in so many things that we fail to praise God like we need to. Just to thank Him. I mean, to get up every single morning and just thank Him. Thank Him for the lungs to breathe. Thank Him for the air to breathe. Thank Him for the eyes to see. Thank Him for our ears to hear. Thank Him for the Bible that we can take and read. Just begin to thank Him for everything. Thank Him for this church. Thank Him for your pastor. Thank Him for your family. Just thank Him for everything. I tell you, you can go on and on and on. And that pleases Him. He's worthy to be praised. And oh, listen, David said, "I'm going to continually praise Him. I'm just going to come and I'm going to talk to Him and I'm going to praise Him." He goes on here and he says in verse 15, "My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness." Look here in verse 16. He says, "I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness." In verse 17, "O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works." He gets down in verse 22. He says, "I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp." Verse 23, "My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee." Verse 24, "My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long." Listen, David said, "I'm going to talk about my God." He said, "I'm just going to praise Him." Oh, listen, we need to praise God. You know, there's nothing greater than praising He who is worthy. Oh, listen, it's just a precious thing. He longs for that. He wants us to do that. He wants us to praise Him, to thank Him. And so David said, "Listen, I'm just going to begin to praise Him. I'm going to cry out to Him, and I'm going to praise my God." And then we find out here in verse number 14, another thing he did. He says, "But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more." He said, "I'm going to continually hope in God." You know, hope today is not the same meaning as what it is when it was written in this book. Hope in the Bible says it's an anchor that's steadfast and sure. When the Bible talks about hope, it's absolute. You know, today we've watered that down so much. You know, have you ever talked to somebody that maybe hasn't been to church for a while, and you go out, you invite them to come to the service, and they'll say something like this: "Well, I hope to be there." Now, you know, not lying, just flat tell me, "No, I'm not coming." You know? We just blown this word hope all to pieces. But we find here in the Bible when he says he had his hope in God. That's where he set out in some other psalms, and he said, "Hope thou in God. Put your hope in Him. He is steadfast and sure." Now we find when here is David, and he's got he's continually resorting to God. He's continually praising Him. He's been continually hoping Him. And now we find what he does. He goes on here and he says in verse 15, he says, "My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day." He says, "For I know not the numbers thereof." You don't know how many numbers of days you have. You know, you'd like to say, "Hey, we're going to live to be 85, 90 years old or whatever." And you'd like to say, "Boy, all this and all this and all this is going to happen." But you don't know. You don't know the numbers. You know, the scriptures tell us in Psalms, it says 70, if reasoned by strength, 80. You basically have 4 quarters in life. There's quite a few nowadays that make it into the 5th quarter, but very, very, very few make the 6th. And then what happens? They die. You know, over in, looking in Psalms 90 once. You get in Psalms 90 and look down, and it tells a little bit about this. And it gets down in verse number 9 of Psalms 90, and it says this. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Listen, each one of us has a story. Every one of you have a story. And I believe when we get saved, the sin's gone. As far as the east is from the west, it's gone. It's been paid for. And so what God does then is He gives you a book. And on the front of that book, it's got your name. It's got your new name written down in glory. And then it's got the date you got saved. Then, each day, you get to write in that book. Now, sure, you're going to sin, but that's not going to show up in there because the sin's all paid for. But what's going to show up in there is what you've done for Christ. First day goes by. Oh, forgot to read your Bible today. Didn't read your Bible. Didn't pray except at mealtime. Day went by, and that night you laid in bed and said, oh, God, I'm sorry. I'll read my Bible tomorrow. First day, first page, blank. Next day. Next day. Next day. Next day. Now it's Sunday. Oh, got to grab my Bible. Got to go to church. Time to go to church. Have my Bible now, and you go to church. How many lives are going to go by blank page after blank page after blank page after blank page? Where we never handed out a tract, never witnessed anyone, never prayed for a lost soul, never prayed for a lost loved one. And on and on and on. Oh, listen, anything we do for Christ is going to be written down. And you notice here what He said. He says, we spend our lives. Why don't we just spend them? You know, next to salvation, one of the most precious things God gives us is time. Time down here. Time that we can make a difference in somebody's life. Time that we can use to bring glory to Him. Time that we can write in His book things that we're going to accomplish for Him. Listen. He goes on, he says this then. The days of our year are 70, and if by reason of strength 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Well, listen, you got a book to write. You got a tale. Well, listen, write in that book. Get going. Get some things in that book that bring glory to God. Things that are going to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Things that are going to be accomplished through your life for the glory of God. Listen, write in that book the right things. And so here he says, back to our text, and David said, we don't know how many days we got. We don't know the numbers thereof. And then he goes in verse 16, he says, I will go in the strength of the Lord. You know, that's so important. You know, there's so many times where we try to accomplish it. We try to do something. We try to go out there and we usually end up making a mess. But listen, we need to go in His strength. We need His presence. We need His power. We need His provision. Now listen, He is the one that gets the glory. And listen, that's why He says He uses the base things of the world to confound the wise. You know, that's why He does that. Because if somebody yields and you might look at them and say, boy, they aren't anything. And they yield themselves to God. And you see what God does with them. And that's because God gets the glory. Not man's intellect. You know, we get it all turned around down here in the world wants to glorify that's why we got so many politicians that are trying to tell you that you don't know how to think. That's why you get that. That's where they're taught. You know, we're up here, they're in a different echelon, and everybody else is down here, and they don't know how to take care of themselves, so we up here, the big kings, we got to be able to tell them what to do. Well, listen. Let God use you. Let God use you. And he goes on, he says, we go in the strength of the Lord. And he says, I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. He said, listen, I'm going to talk about my Lord. That's why you get down here in verse 24 and he says, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. That's why he was going to talk about the Lord all day long. Wherever he was around, he was going to talk to people about his God. Why? Because he didn't know how many days he had. He knew that he had to number our days. He said, we had to count it. We had to look at it. He says, and I don't want to spend them. I want to invest them. And oh, listen, that's what we need to do. And we find he goes on then. He says, oh God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto I have declared thy wondrous works. And then he gets into that verse number 18. And he says, now when I'm old and gray-headed, oh God, forsake me not. Oh, listen to me. You know, a lot of times people wonder, is God done with me? You'll know when God's done with you. You'll be looking at it. And until that happens, he said, occupy. He said, occupy till I come. He says, just do what you can till I come. You know, do what you can. You know, every one of us can hand out a tract. You can call somebody on the phone, invite somebody to come. You can, you know, it's amazing. You know, since we've been up here now, I think 18 days now up here in Alaska. And we've handed out somewhere like 150 tracts already. Different places, all over, wherever we go. And guess what? Not one refused. I've never been in a place like that. You got to come with us over there to Estonia. Yeah, you want to get rejection, come over to Estonia. 40, 45, 50 people go by before one takes it. Listen. You know what I tell most folks when I give it to them? Someone say, what's this? I'll say this to them. It'll tell you how to get to heaven. You know what they do then? Well, if the light goes on, the alternative is not so good. And they start thinking, yeah. I said, then I'll say, isn't that a good idea? And they say, yeah. You know, yeah. They don't want to go to the other place. You know, nobody. They don't want to believe in heaven. They don't want to believe in hell. But they don't want to go to hell. That's for sure. Just by chance, there might be one. You know. And so listen, get him the gospel. Tell him, get it out to him. And so he says, listen, when I'm old and gray-headed, oh God, forsake me not until I've showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is to come. Oh, listen, we've got to reach our generation. You know, I thank God for the great revivals that we read about and the Welsh revival and the New England revival and all those, the great preachers. When you think of Billy Sunday and you think of B.R. Lakin and you think of all these men that God used in so many ways, I thank God for those men. But listen, they're gone. That was their time. This is our time. This is our generation. This is our time to get the gospel out. Listen, we have got to do all we can to reach our generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's more people alive on the earth today than there ever has been. Over 7.3 billion people. And when I began in the ministry in 1975, there was 4.5 billion. Think about that. In just a little over 40 years, from 4.5 to 7.3. This is our generation. Let's make a difference in our life, in our time. Let's shake the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ and reach people for Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for these precious people. Thank You for this church. And Father, we just ask that You work in each heart and each life. And Lord, tonight, maybe just set us on fire. God, help us to maybe renew a commitment tonight before Thee. And say, Lord, I'm sorry, I messed up. I haven't been writing in my book like I need to. So God, help me tonight, Lord, to make a commitment to You that I'll try to hand out a tract each day. I'll try to talk to someone about Thee. I'll read Your book every day. I'll pray for someone that I love that's lost. I'll pray for our church. Maybe you need to make those commitments tonight. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You say, Brother Sturts,